the Pentagon is really an enterprise of multiple enterprises, and we the nation needs somebody who can pull together defense of all those networks and computers. Over 7 million authorized users in DoD networks, all of which need their systems defended.
And not only the, one of the biggest computer users on the planet, but also one of the biggest targets on the planet.
That's right. So lots of folks, from low-level hackers trying to get some thrills to espionage to higher-level attackers, have the Pentagon right in their sights.
A lot of people concerned that somebody with this kind of military background and experience would sort of weaponize the system. During his confirmation hearings, he said he wouldn't do that. Tell us a bit about the man himself and what he brings to the table.
So from multiple sources, including what we see from him, his speeches at the RSA conference, his testimony multiple times to Congress, his confirmation hearings, it's become pretty clear that this is an individual who's incredibly smart, a fast learner, and has a good sense of humor. And I think it's also very clear that, like others in that position, he's extremely patriotic, extremely loyal to his chain of command and to the Constitution and our way of life. So I have no fears that the Pentagon is placing its confidence in the right person.
Give us, because there was a lot of discussion about whether DOD needed this cyber command, and of course, early on, Air Force was saying, we're the cyber service. A lot of discussion. Does this, having this position and having somebody confirmed by the Senate in this position, does that help eliminate some of those turf battles that were going on?
Yes, and I don't know if I would describe those as turf battles, but there's definitely a principle of military operations that's been around since Alexander the Great, and that is unity of command and unity of effort. And it really helps in fast-moving operations, especially cyber operations, if you know who the ultimate person is who can make a decision and whose authority you're operating under. And so for something the size of the Pentagon, I think it's really going to help to have an organization with the authority of a commander to make these kind of decisions.
What's the next step at this point, and how long can somebody hold on to a position like this before burnout sets in? This seems like a lot of balls to keep in the air.
So that's another good question, and here's one that I think one of the first things that this commander should do, one that I would hope he's thinking through now, is think, how do you groom a replacement, and how do you grow a cadre of people who are qualified to operate in this command, and how do you do that for the long term so that 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, the people who are decision makers then are able to pick from the very best folks who can be the new commander of the Cyber Command.
And, of course, we now have Howard Schmidt as the Cyber Coordinator. We have somebody over at DOD. How do these two positions, in the best of all worlds, how do these two positions work together?
They are fantastic people, both of which now have different charters, both of which are in the executive branch, and both of which have a chain of command that goes up to the ultimate authority, the president.
But so there has been this lack of communication between DOD and the White House organization to some degree.
Right. I think, well, now there is a central authority on the Department of Defense side who's going to be charged with enhanced coordination and communication. So if there have been problems, I hope that this is a way to clarify and improve the situation.
You touched on this a bit earlier as far as the expertise and the skill set that you need to have a job like this. Is that why it took so long to fill this position? Because we are lacking those skill sets and we need to sort of groom the next generation to come up and be ready to fill these slots as needed?
That may have played a role, but there's so many other important policy issues that are actually fair to think through before making a major step like this. And in fact, one of the beauties of this entire process is we as a nation, were able to think through all of these hard issues and come up with the optimal solution. And the end result now is someone who has been nominated by the president, so the executive branch, and then confirmed by the legislative branch, which is the way things should be done. And I think it just took time because we had to think through all of these issues and ensure that everybody throughout government was satisfied they were being addressed appropriately.
So what are some of the challenges that General Alexander now faces? Because, as you say, they're the target out there.
Right. So several challenges that we encounter, we being the Cyber Conflict Studies Association. We work with academia who studies cyber conflict in the hopes of shedding light on some of the key policy issues. And among the many issues that we frequently find coming up are finding balance between computer network defense, computer network attack, and computer network exploitation. And at least from the academics we work with who study this, that balance has really not been addressed yet. And we're hoping Cyber Command will be the entity that does that.
And why is that important? Why does that make a difference?
Well, because there are different equities at play here and different very important missions. And if left alone, the leaders of those missions might do things that interfere with the other missions, so it's not optimized. For example, let's say someone was collecting information through the networks and a totally different organization was preparing for a military attack and saying, I'm going to attack that adversary network, and a totally different organization somewhere was being attacked by an adversary. What's the right thing to do? How can you quickly pull together all the information and decide, do I attack that adversary network, or do I keep it up so I can exploit it and continue to learn information? Or do I change my defenses in a way that makes me stronger? Or do I do all of the above? Well, previously we had very slow mechanisms to adjudicate those kind of decisions. Now the hope is that this command will help bring all the information together and drive the optimal decision. The Cyber Conflict Studies Association is very important in helping academia understand and study and produce research relevant to this mission.